Okay, this festival and concert season, it's all about the boots. We all know it. And I've got just the place for you to find your perfect pair. They are Tecovas, okay? They've got everything you need to rock that festival style. But really what sets Tecovas apart is their first wear comfort, okay? Seriously, there's little to no break-in period, so you can strut your stuff in style right out of the gates. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. So stop at your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff. Are you kidding me? They're at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. That's what I did. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So if you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They're offering free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. So go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This week's Off the Vine is sponsored by Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV? Who's down with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Caitlin is creating a space where girls and gents can feel empowered to be themselves. Get ready for lots of laughs,
taboo topics,
unfiltered advice, and wine.
Lots of wine.
Get ready to shake things up. Here's Caitlin.
Welcome to Off the Vine. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow. Today on the pod, I have a couple who have defied all the odds, stayed together after their marriage was rocked by infidelity. She is an amazing actress, singer. He's a former NFL player. Together, they are parents of their two amazing kids. They co-host their pod, Wind Down. Earlier this year, they co-wrote the book, The Good Fight, all about their relationship, which quickly became a New York Times bestseller. And for all the parents out there, we talk about the possibility of a third child for them, what they would do differently. And also, we're talking about all things relationships, so including the newest trend of couples sleeping in separate bedrooms. And so much more. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast as much as I did. Vinos, do you own or rent your own home? I'm sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy is bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Now back to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
So good to see you guys. Looking all cozy. Are you in your bedroom right now?
We are, yeah.
We are.
Isn't it glorious to be able to podcast and still be able to work and do all this stuff just from like the comfort of your own bedroom?
It is really nice. I will say though, like it's been awesome, but at the same time, like I do miss like going like to a studio, you know, because like there's a different vibe, but at the same time, like it is really nice. We live like where we're at right now, like there's construction going on, or like if we hear the kids, I feel like,
oh yeah, that's fair,
still those things that like can kind of draw you out of like this
zone.
Yeah, so but then again, it's like the positive is like staying home and being cozy and not wearing pants and
yeah,
and our bed's right here.
Yeah,
it's true. There's pros and cons to it, but you're right. Sometimes it's nice to have some structure or like routine of going somewhere and feeling like you're just more, especially in person too. Podcasting with someone in person is just so much different when you're in a studio face to face. It's a lot nicer, but I'll take what I can get this year because holy shit, how ready are we for 2021?
I mean, so ready, but then at the same time, I'm like, you know, I just got an email from our pastor being like, hey, you know, we're not doing Christmas Eve service and it's like, we're not going back again until the end of January. So I'm like, gosh, like just like when you start to see a little bit of like hope and opening, like
pull the rug from underneath. Yeah.
So I feel like 2021, like, I mean, I'm really excited for it. I will say that there's a lot of things in 2020 that I really did enjoy. Like, I mean, I know it was really hard and it was stressful and I had a lot of anxiety and you know, work was tough, but the time that we got to spend with the kids was like, the time will never, are you good there? Meanwhile, Mike's taking off his belt right now.
My belt's still undone.
Oh,
get comfortable.
But I was like, what are you doing?
I looked in the computer. I realized my belt buckles are hanging down. So that's how
I just noticed when you started unbuckling. I was like, what's going on here? I mean, we're there. We're all friends here. It's good with me.
What I was saying, though, is like, you know, it was, I remember in the beginning of this year in January being like, oh my gosh, I'm gone almost every single weekend. And I'm just starting to think of like the stress. And I was about to cancel like a girl's trip because I'm like, I can't be away from my kids this much. And then it was just like, haha, God's got a different plan for you.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, I'm trying to find like the positives, because if not, I can just spiral so into the negative. It can be there.
I'm like queen of spiraling. That's the thing. I always want people to not feel guilty too if they had a good 2020. Like, talk about the positives. Talk about the huge wins for your year. You guys had a book that came out, which did so well. You guys are killing the podcast game. You have so much going on just as a couple and individually and as a family. And it's allowed to be a good year for people. I mean, I think I'm just ready for the calendar to say 2021, because the numbers 2020 just seem like a dark place to me. So I'm just excited to see that calendar change. But how have you guys been during 2020? Because some relationships thrive, some struggle, some do both. I know for myself and Jason personally, like it was kind of like we're kind of new when the whole pandemic happened. Like we were only a year together, maybe a little more. And it was like a really interesting thing, because he moved in and, you know, we still had our work. We were still both traveling all the time. And as soon as the pandemic hit, at first, we felt really close and connected through it, because we're like, we're going through something really scary together and we're just like here for each other. And then it got to a point where we're like, get out of my face. And then it got to a point where we're just like, can you stay upstairs? I'll stay downstairs. And then we kind of came back together after a while and felt like we're in this together again. So what does it look like for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, similar. I mean, for us, you know, a big thing early on was learning even better how to ask for what we need, right? Because, you know, we can't expect each other to read each other's minds and be like, can't you see I'm struggling? And can you please take the kids? So we got better at being like, hey, I need five. I need an hour. Can you take kids or whatever? So that communication, you know, is something we grew better at. But, you know, just like everyone, it's when you spend this much time, which we're conditioned to spending way more time than most couples do, because we work together, we travel together, we do pretty much everything together.
Yeah.
And yet it's still taking a toll on us, because even early on in the pandemic, when you weren't going out to eat or doing anything social, even those little separations during the day was enough to kind of be like, okay, I haven't really seen you today, but now let's hang out. But early on, we didn't have that. So it's just like all the time, rubbing elbows. It's like, all right.
Well, plus parenting on top of that has got to be really challenging. But you're right. It's those small things of like going for a dinner and coming back, or just being able to go and do something. And I think it's the added anxiety and stress of a pandemic that no one has experienced before. That's just enough stress to add to any relationship, whether that's family, friends, a couple, a family. Like that's just something that is so the unknown that we are all struggling with. And like pandemic fatigue is a real thing, the stress of it. So it's hard to cope with all of that. And like I said, especially having a family, and I heard on your podcast, you were thinking about a third. What? Is this a thing? Is this going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, we go so back and forth. Yeah. I mean, kids are at such a great age where they now can like play together, and we have minutes that we can be like, hey, do you want to go play Monopoly Deal for 15 minutes? Because we have 15 minutes that they can just like hang out. So I don't know. I mean, I think we'd love to. We just have to figure out, you know, like I've had so many miscarriages. It's been a struggle to stay pregnant. So I don't know if we want to go through that again.
Totally.
So, I mean, we're discussing, we haven't closed the door on it, but we're not sure yet.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I heard on the podcast, that you're just talking about it, which I can, you are such a, Mike, and you're good too, but I just love seeing you as a mom. You know what I mean? It's like a motherly thing where it's just, I knew you before you were a mom, and now I see you as a mom. And I feel like you're meant to do this. And you two as a couple parenting, I just love watching you guys do what you do on social media, because I don't know, your kids are just so sweet and happy. And you just seem like such a, you know, like you're meant to be doing this. So I cannot put myself in your shoes, and I cannot imagine going through those miscarriages and doing, having that on you, like the stress of that, even thinking about going through that again. Cause I've had so many friends that have gone through it, and I know it's like the, one of the hardest, darkest feelings in the world to go through that nobody can understand unless you've gone through it. So to put yourself through that again must be absolutely terrifying. But I love how open you've been about all of those things, because I got so mad when Chrissy Teigen posted and someone was like, keep that to yourself. And that was that whole thing. Cause I'm like, how many women out there, like think about when you were younger and what you had to look up to as a child. You probably looked up to these magazines that were all about women being perfect, getting their body back, all these things that didn't ever open up dialogue for the struggles, which now we have social media, we have podcasts, which can be, you know, the whole social media comparison, but also opens up doors to talk about hard struggles that you go through as women. And I just think it's really important that you, I love how open you both are about everything in your life. And I had a question about that. Do you ever talk about where you draw a line with what you talk about, or do you just go on the podcast, talk about anything that comes up, or are there some things you're like, let's not go there?
I mean, we pretty much talk about everything. I mean, there's certain things that we hold close, like, you know,
details
of maybe like his affairs or like things like that, just because we don't need, like, our kids are already going to read enough. Like, we don't need them to read, like, you know, how bad it was or whatever. It's just personal information.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all personal, but you know what I mean?
Like, I really appreciate how open you guys are. And I've always said that to you. I just think it's just so, so nice for women to be able to listen and hear. I mean, I'm sure there's like two men that listen to this podcast, or like, I don't know how many men listen to your guys' podcast, but,
thank you, but
for couples to just relate to that and know that there's like, marriages are such hard work. And I think it's cool how open you guys are about just how hard it can be.
Yeah. And that's kind of like what we say, like, it's, you know, it's whether you have infidelity, whether there's, you know, whatever in your marriage, it's marriages is takes a lot of work, and you guys are always constantly changing, and you want to just continue to grow together and communicate. And it's just, it's hard, especially, you know, when the honeymoon phase, you know, wears off, and it's like, oh wow. Like, and you know, and then you then start to be like, okay, the childhood wounds, like what he brings, the baggage he brings to the relationship, what I bring to the relationship, and right. then trying to like mold those together, it can be really hard.
Jason and I were just talking about that, because we've been so open about how we're ready to start a family and how excited we would be to, if you know that's in the cards for us to have a family, how excited we would be to do that. And I said to him, I think it was last night, I said, I would really like to go to counseling and see a therapist before we start trying or thinking about it, because I think it's so hard because he had such a good childhood. And I'm like, but there's gotta be something. Like, you can't just sit there and say that it was perfect and you have no childhood wounds or trauma. Like, I don't believe it. So I want to go, cause I know what all mine are and I know what I'll need to work on as a mom, but I'm sure as a couple, we would need to go to therapy and figure out how we would parent together. And I know you two are always open about therapy and doing that. Now, if you had a third child, or just parenting in general, what advice would you give to parents out there? If you had a third child, what would you do differently parenting this time than you haven't done in the past?
Honestly, one thing about Jan and I's relationship, with all the you know, bumps and bruises that we've gone through, parenting has been the most consistent for us. Like, we've always shared similar goals, similar beliefs when it's come to parenting. So we can't say that we necessarily do anything different. Yeah. I think it would just be us figuring out how to do the same things with a third, along with having two, you know, a young daughter and a toddler and everything like that. But that's been the one area that consistently we've been on the same page about.
I was really with Jolie. I was, you know, nervous, but with Jace, it's kind of like, okay, like I got this, like, you know, I've already done it, but you know, like what he's saying, like with the third, it would just have to be, I would have to learn to not be as structured, which is kind of, for me, I think having a structured baby is so important. I think kids need structure and they need all that. So I don't know. It would be tough to change that.
Yeah, so. No, I hear you. And on your podcast, I also heard that you guys talked about such an interesting topic, and I needed to bring it up because I want to know your thoughts. The trend in 2021 of couples sleeping in separate bedrooms. Is that a trend? Is that what's going to happen?
I mean, apparently that's what our producer was saying. That there's what, 1 in 4?
Yeah, 1 in 4. No, we don't say that's, we don't at all promote that. No. It's nice at times. Like, I will say, like, it is nice to just, like, because I sleep like a starfish in bed. Yeah. So it is nice to be able to have the bed to ourselves. But I will say, you know, something Mike would always say is, you know, he thinks it's okay to go to bed angry. And, you know, just everything I've always read and what people say is, you know, you should never go to bed angry. And I told him just like a week or two ago, and I was like, I don't want to go to bed angry anymore because I don't like the way I feel when I wake up in the morning, because we don't really end up talking until like 1 or 2 the next afternoon. And I don't like that. I don't like the energy. Like, I get why they say that. And I'm like, and I don't want to promote that we even think that that's okay. I know space and like you, I still want to be able to come together. We don't have to be like hunky dory kissing, you know, because that's not realistic when you're at each other's throats, but like to not go to bed angry and just be like, and still respect each other when you go to bed.
Yeah. It's so funny. Cause I just had this conversation yesterday on my podcast with the Shrink Chicks, who are these two therapists. Have you had them on?
No.
Okay. They're amazing. They're so funny. They're so just like they'll swear and they are drinking wine while they talk. They're amazing. I love them. And they were saying that whole thing about not going to bed angry and how they believe you should go to bed angry because you wake up the next morning and maybe you're like, oh, I'm so glad I slept on that because I feel better. And I'm the same way, but Jason doesn't like to go to bed mad because he wakes up with bad energy like you, where I'm like, let me sleep on this. And then I wake up and I'm like, I'm over it.
I'm the same way, Kayla. I'm the same where I wake up and usually it'll actually bother Jana more. So I'll be like, hey, honey, good morning. She's like, no, I'm so effing pissed at you. What the hell are you barking up the tree?
Like even today, like we're in a little tiff right now. And he was like, he texted me. He was like, I love you. And I just said, I'm back like a hissy cat face. Like, I was trying to be funny. He never laughed at it. But I thought, you know, you never said anything to it.
I just saw it and I was like, okay.
I thought it was cute. Like an icebreaker.
Yeah, sometimes a little humor can go a long way. I'll never forget in high school with my boyfriend, we were in such a big fight and I was sitting in his truck crying and I was holding a mug of coffee and all of a sudden a big booger just dropped down and like landed in my coffee and we just laughed so hard and that was like the end of the fight because sometimes you just need to laugh.
I know. I agree. But I guess it didn't work today, Caitlin.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to talk about your guys' book because I thought that was how cool that you guys have released a book together and it hit New York's best time sellers, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. We're just pumped about that.
Yeah,
that's incredible. And it came out in September. First of all, where can people get it? I'm sure everywhere that you can buy a book.
Yeah, I mean, it's cheaper if you get it on Amazon, but I mean, you know, we'll always say like support your local bookstores, but Amazon, Barnes and Noble is called The Good Fight.
I wanted to commend you both for writing this. Cause I know you actually sat down and wrote it yourselves, right?
Yeah. We didn't have a ghostwriter. It was just all our words. And it's interesting because people that know me, like, know that I'm not like the greatest writer and I write how I type. So I'm like, oh my gosh, hey, it's me, like in the book. So it's like, and my editor was very awesome. Our editor, she didn't really touch too much of our tone because I'm like, that's not what I would say. That's not right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's so much work, but I always commend people for one, putting yourselves out there like that. And two, writing it yourself is such a big job. And must be so rewarding now to have it done. But how difficult was the process to write the book? I'm sure you've talked about this so many times on your own podcast and stuff, but for my listeners who maybe haven't read the book or who are going to read the book, how hard was it to write that book? Because obviously it's going to bring up certain things, certain fights. Was it hard to separate that and like not let it trigger you and go backwards to that fight? Or was it therapeutic to write it out and move on?
It was both. I mean, we had our moments depending on what the topic was, depending on where we were emotionally that day. There are moments where, you know, it was re-triggering for us and we had to process through it all over again or kind of separate for a little bit and come back. And then there's other times where we, like you're talking about humor, we'd laugh at ourselves being like, I can't believe we acted this way in this situation. You know, because we try to start every chapter off with like a fight or some kind of conflict. And
right.
So it was a little bit of both. But it was challenging, especially because we work in two different ways. So we had to find, you know, the best thing to kind of mix those different work ethics.
Yeah. I mean, in some days too, like if I was typing something, I would just be like, I literally don't even want to look at you right now. Like I'm so angry. I'm like, I'm done for the day. Or, you know, and like he said, like there are some days where I'm just like, you know, this is great. And look how far we've come. But it was definitely, it's not fun to relive those things. But, you know, we know at the end of the day that it's hopefully helping people. And, you know, for me, like I needed this book 4 years ago when I found out about everything. I needed to know right. that like, a couple went through this and now they're stronger because of it. Like I needed right. some kind of hope. So I hope that, you know, for the people that are in that spot, get that hope. And then also, you know, just to, I mean, we've learned so many things from therapy that, you know, we still struggle with, you know, doing ourselves, but this book is almost a reminder for us too. Like, okay, we need to communicate better. And the things that like we wrote, like we still have to, you know, do ourselves and get better at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sure you've helped a lot of people with it. So, and then what else have you guys been up to lately? Jana, you did a Christmas movie that's out, which is, I am like the biggest fan of any Christmas Hallmarky, like any kind of Christmas movie I'm watching. I do. Didn't we talk about this the other night? I do a Christmas movie every single night.
I love that.
You guys only do once a week, right?
Yeah, we do once a week.
Once a week.
Yeah, which we kind of missed the other night. But yeah.
We can double down. This week.
Yeah, we can double down since it's Christmas week. But yeah, no, I did. It was a movie. What was it called? Oh my gosh. Welcome Home Christmas. Yes. I was like, I totally forgot. I did that. And then next year, I just signed a deal with Lifetime and I get to produce and create my own Lifetime holiday movie. So I'm just like going to be dreaming up ideas. That's going to be fun. I've got a few other movies in the works that I can't really talk about yet. And then we got some work stuff that we're going to, hopefully do. And then, you know, I know you know this, Caitlin, like we had just started our wind down dates and it's like, we love that so much, but now it's we don't know when we can go back out to do that.
Right. Yeah. That's hard, but you guys have to keep podcasting because you're so good at it.
Oh, we love podcasting. It's challenging at times, but we love it.
Yeah. We'll keep doing that, but it's just, you know, we do miss the live aspect of things on the road, interacting with people, as you know, so. You know, we're just trying to roll with the tide like everybody else for this coming into 2021 and just keep doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. You guys, Jana, you have to like keep your Christmas decorations up for the whole year to get inspired for your next movie and just like live Christmas through the whole year. That sounds like a dream. Mike, are you a big Christmas guy or is it just me and Jana?
No, I'm a huge Christmas guy too. It's definitely my favorite. And it's just funny because, you know, Jana wants like decorations up like the day after Thanksgiving. And I think, did we?
No, I want him up like 2 weeks before
Thanksgiving. That's right. I'm sorry. Two weeks before Thanksgiving. And we did it around the perfect time this year.
Like 2019, 18.
Yeah. But then it's like the day after Christmas, Jan's like, all right, they're down. Let's go.
Really?
Like, on to the next thing. Yeah.
Oh, not me. Wait, you were like that after you guys wrote the book too, right? You were like, you put all this time and effort into it and you're just such a little hustler that you're done the book. You're like, okay, what's next?
Yeah, we got into a huge fight about it because we were like, we were cheersing like with our glasses, like we finished our book. And then I'm like, okay, what do we want book 2 about? And he gave me like this really negative look. And I was like, what? He's like, can't you just enjoy? Like, isn't this enough? And I'm like, oh my God. And because his big thing with me is like, nothing's ever enough. I'm like, it's not that it's not enough. I'm just saying like,
let's all motivated
about the future and like, what's next? And so we ended up getting into a fight that night.
Yeah, I was just, I mean, personally, I was exhausted from the whole process. And it was the last time, like, we put any words or any edits. Like, there's going to be no more typing, no more work. It was all in the publisher's hand now. And, yeah, we were cheers on the back porch. She's like, okay, what's next? I was like, we just got done, like, putting the last words on the page. I was like, give me a second. I was like, let's enjoy this, soak it in. Then tomorrow, maybe we can say, hey, what do we want to do next?
That's funny. Maybe sleep on this one.
Yeah.
I took to my Facebook group to let them ask you guys some questions and people were like dying to know. There were so many questions in there for you guys. So I'm going to just give you a few. A girl named Caitlin, great name, wants to know, can you guys talk about your check-ins? How often do you have them in your relationship and tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, our check-ins are something that, you know, we actually were doing a bad job of doing it consistently. We've recently gotten more consistent again with it. For a while there, we were doing it every night. And it's all about just the way I like to explain it, it's like a temperature gauge for your relationship, right? It's to check in about your feelings, to affirm one another on things they might have done that day or that week, to express any needs that you might have coming up, to own anything that you might have done. And then in my case, there's an S on the end of the acronym that's talks about sobriety, meeting plan, and all of that. But
yeah, it's called Thanos. Feelings, affirmations, needs, own. And then if you're in the program, you used to say like, and I usually say like, hey, I'm going to therapy next week, or just like a way to like what you're doing to like be healthy and take action.
I like that. I actually meant to write that down last time we were on your podcast, because I was like, that is genius. I'm writing it down right now. And you do it once a week?
No, we should do it. I mean, we really should. Like, if you're in the midst of things right now, like it's important to do it every night. But we should do it like probably like every other night or something.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
at least once a week.
At least once a week. You know, especially maybe on like a Sunday night lead going into the week.
Yeah.
Where you're able to express like needs that are coming up and, you know, whatever maybe.
Okay. And Erica wants to know, what do you guys agree the most on about parenting and disagree the most on about parenting?
I think the most would be like food.
Like, we agree
for dinner. Yeah, like we're like, ah, it's fine, just give him a yogurt. Like, we're just kind of like,
we're neither one of us are huge sticklers. Like, our kids eat enough, they eat well, we have them on good diets, but it's, we're not gonna lose sleep over, oh, he didn't eat his peas tonight. Like, he's got, you know, with Jolie, we were that way, but with the second, you're just like, hey, they're gonna be okay.
Yeah, it's like, here's a part, dude. Like, enjoy dinner.
Yeah.
What we disagree on most is probably like he.
It's as much as Jana is a structured parent, I think we disagree on structure when it comes to like Jana be like, just pull him out of school. Let's go do this today. Or let's, you know, we want to take him out of town. And for me, I'm like, all right, I know kids need structure. So, but Jolie has dance or Jolie has this. And she's like, okay, she's five. Like, it's going to be okay. And so that's where we probably butt heads a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like just the other day, Jolie slept at her friend's house. I was like, whoa, she has school tomorrow.
I was like, she's four, Mike. Like,
she's like, it's basically daycare. It's not school.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right.
Those are fair arguments to have though. Shannon wants to know, what are your love languages and how do you meet each other's needs by using those love languages?
So my highest is touch and words of affirmation. My lowest is acts of service. Mike's highest is acts of service
and words of affirmation.
So it can be really difficult because how I receive love is his like least favorite, and vice versa. So it's hard, but I think just like acknowledging, okay, like if I do his laundry or if I clean my mess up in his car, like that's going to show that I care about him. And if he comes and gives me a hug and kisses me and tells me he loves me, like that's going to show. So I think it's just acknowledging that though ours are polar opposite, it's just how one another, you know, feel loved and appreciated.
Yeah. Do you try and do that every day? Because I find that really hard to do because I am definitely not a physical touch person and Jason wants physical touch. And I find it, I'm just not like a lovey dovey, like mushy person. And I find it so hard every day to try and do that, even though, I mean, we hug every day or, you know what I mean? But like for me to go up and show physical touch and do that for some reason is really challenging for me. But do you try and do it like every single day?
Well, what is that in your childhood wounds, Caitlin? Where does that come from? Well,
that's so interesting. I've tried to figure this out because my parents were both very affectionate even though they got a divorce later in life, they were quite affectionate together and to my sister and I. So I'm like, where does that come from? My sister's so affectionate. And I'm like, I've always tried to figure out where that comes from.
Maybe you were like annoyed of it, or maybe subconsciously you're like, if I get physical touch, it's just they're going to leave because your parents got divorced.
It could be.
I just believe that some things people are just biologically different. And it's you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I can contribute it to one thing for me either, but to answer your initial question, it is something that I'm more conscious of because of knowing it's Jana's love language. So if I pass her in the kitchen, I'll just walk by. I give her a little butt tap or, you know, little kiss on the head, or yeah, yeah. It's not all the time, but I'm conscious
yeah.
of that and try to do it more.
I think that's the most important thing, is just being aware of it and conscious and being like, oh, I wouldn't actually usually do this, but I'm going to, because I know it means something to them.
Right.
Kelly wants to know, what is your individual biggest turn on within your marriage?
I mean, he's a great chef.
Ooh, that's so hot.
Watching him kind of own the kitchen and, you know, just taking charge. How he greets people. Like, he's just real, like a strong presence.
Yep.
Mine would be, you know,
and he's a great dad. He hates when I say that. He's like, why do you think he's a great dad? I'm like, because you're a great dad.
That's, to me, that will be like, I think a turn on for me with Jason is seeing him be a great dad.
Well, yeah. And Mike said one time, he said, how would you like it if I said you were a great mom all the time? And I was like, I would love that.
That's her answer when it's like, what do you love most about Mike? And every single time, he's a great dad. He's a great dad. I was like, okay. But is there something that I do that affects you individually, not just you seeing me with our kids, but right. that I do for you or do to you or whatever?
Well, there you go, chef. And your presence. You've got a good presence.
And I'm a great dad.
That's not a bad thing.
You know, mine for Jana, so for me, not to get too deep into it, comes down to this book that I read called Love and Respect. I highly recommend for any person, any couple, and where it talks about ultimately women want to feel loved and men want to feel respected. And when I feel respected by Jana, whether it, I make a decision and she's very inquisitive and always wants to ask why. Mm-hmm. And she just respects my answer and says, okay. Or, you know, if I'm too tired to be, you know, physically intimate that night, it's not a, why won't you, you know, be with right. me? Like, I'm physical touch. It's just like, okay, it's all right. Like, you know, good night. I love you.
Yeah.
It's like having that grace from her actually makes me want to lean in more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, that's how it is for me.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good answer. Jenna, do you like that answer?
No, but it's fine. No.
I can see you leaning further and further away. okay. Katie.
I would have liked to have a great mom. Honestly,
she's a great mom.
A few vinos wanted to know who you stay in touch with, Jana, from your One Tree Hill days.
Chantel, and then Joy. I was closest to Sophia filming, but we don't really stay in touch anymore. And now it's Chantel, and then I've spoken to Joy a little bit too. And by the way, she's got an awesome Christmas album called Snow. So, but yeah, those two.
Amazing.
All right. I was going to say, I'm sure you are aware by now, but I actually hope you're aware by now that I am a crazy dog mom. Okay. I can go a little extreme at times, but hey, love the pups. One thing I know isn't extreme is making sure Ramen and Pino are at their optimal health. So important. Springtime Supplements makes taking care of my dogs and your dogs' well-being so easy. They have been around for over 40 years, so I know I can trust them. My dogs, like any dogs or humans, have their own personalized health concerns that I like to specifically target for each of them. Ramen has his hip issues from the day we got him, so I know his joints benefit so much from these supplements. Whereas Pino can tend to be more anxious, so Springtime Supplements for calming help him stay relaxed. These supplements support any dog, any age, so you can literally take care of your pups every step of the way. Also, another huge FYI for me is that all ingredients are tested to ensure purity, quality, and safety. I seriously get such peace of mind knowing that I'm giving them a product that I trust. Springtime isn't just supplements. They also have a line of all-natural treats that your dog will crave, including real meat cookies, bully sticks, and exotic chews. My dogs almost knocked me over to get some Springtime bully sticks the other day. Dog owners know what I'm talking about. See what hundreds of thousands of grateful dog owners have to say about Springtime natural dog supplements and treats, and help your dog live a happier and healthier life. Go to springtime.com/vine to get free shipping on your first order and learn how you can save up to 55% during their annual holiday sale. Podcast listeners will receive free shipping on their first order with code VINE when you visit www.springtime.com. Hey, do you own or rent your own home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy, which is a good thing too because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Now back to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
Okay, I've got one game for us to play and then I'll let you guys go. What are you doing today, by the way?
Well, we're going to Cheekwood to see the lights.
Oh, that's amazing. So let's go to do a confession and then we'll play a game and we will let you go enjoy your Christmassy day.
Oh, you're so good.
Okay. Okay, I don't have a confession for you guys today because I'm fresh out, but you guys feel free to share with me.
So I will say that about a few months ago, I was really, like Mike and I got into like a kind of a bad fight. Mm-hmm. And I took his toothbrush and I like put it like on the like countertop and smeared it and like, and then put it like underneath the thing and on the bottom. And then I put it back. So I was like,
are you just finding this out now? Or did you already know she did that?
No, I did not know she did that.
Sorry. At least I didn't put it in the toilet. I almost thought about wringing it in the toilet.
Oh no. Oh my gosh. If you did the toilet, I would be like, but it was just the counters. Look, he's so mad right now.
Inside the things and on the bottom of the, sorry.
Okay. Mike, get her back.
I think you should just call me tomorrow and I'll have a good confession for you.
I should.
But that, you know, I don't even have a confession towards Jana.
That's nice.
Mine, the first thing that came to mind, I don't know if I've ever shared, was I've dined and ditched once in my life.
Oh, when? What?
That's so rude. You know all the waitresses that like,
yeah,
in my times that like I would get stuck with like nothing.
I know.
That's why this is the confession. We're forgiving and
I was
no judgment. Okay.
I was 18. Okay. Oh, it was beach week. So beach week we would go to Myrtle Beach.
Wait, that's when he would steal from the tourism places too. He just confessed that to me over I used to steal from the surf. What was that place called?
You know, there's like surf shops and stuff. You went on like a.
How can you steal from a surf shop? Like walk out with a surfboard?
No, like, you know those like trinkets. Tourism big like ones, like sun shop or whatever.
Yeah. Trinkets. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's my confession. So I guess I'm doubling down. But it was our last meal before we left. It was like our last night. We're you know, high school kids. So we have no money left. Between like 12 of us, we had, I don't know, $12 or something, like $1 a person.
Yeah.
And so we had two tables and amongst everyone, like we had dishes everywhere. Like we ate like king because we're like, I mean, we can't pay for this anyway. And I hate to laugh about this, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, we like stuff like a couple dollars under these plates, stuff like a couple dollars under these plates. They're like, all right, thanks a lot. See you later. As soon as we leave it was a Waffle House. As soon as we get out of the Waffle House and turn the corner, we sprint to our cars, get on our cars. And the worst part about it, we had to drive back around the front of the Waffle House, like on the main road. And we see into the restaurant and the waitress picks something up and then throw it on the ground.
Oh, no.
I felt so bad. I still feel bad. I wish I could find that lady and pay.
Well, maybe we can. Maybe there's a way in life to like find out who that lady was if she remembers and pay her back. Or
I think we should go to Waffle House in Brentwood and pay for everyone's meal for like 1 hour that day.
Yes.
Like everyone that comes in, we pay for their meal to pay back for your Waffle House.
Because usually the Waffle House bill is like $20 max.
Right.
So, oh my gosh, that's a really good idea. This is why I love the confessions. You can have a good karma come around.
I like that. And I'll get you a new toothbrush.
Yeah. The electric kind. Like a really, really nice toothbrush.
I started with that again.
You'd be like, well, you deserve it, you Waffle House stealer.
I love that it was a Waffle House. You're like, we ate like kings.
Kings,
yeah, Denny's.
I was thinking like this, like steakhouse. Oh, that's amazing.
Four Seasons breakfast brunch.
Waffle House. Love Waffle House. Waffle House.
Vinos, do you own or rent your own home? I'm sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy is bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a good thing too because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You're listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow.
Okay, this game is called Useful or Useless.
Okay.
Very simple. We've all heard the cliche lines about relationships or marriages that are said to make them better or stronger. So I'm going to read you the cliche quote and you answer if it's useful or useless. Okay. Happy wife, happy life.
Useful.
Useful.
Mm. Okay. Explain that.
I mean, the wife does a lot. And, you know, I think it's good for the man to acknowledge the things and, you know, make her happy because she's holding, I believe a woman holds up the family and with everything that we do.
There's a certain level of dependency in every relationship with the wife and the mom and as a mother. And it's just, it really is. My day is better when I know Jan is.
I think that's sweet.
You know, and it's, if you don't, then you're just kind of an asshole.
Honestly.
I concur.
I concur. Okay, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Useless, because I think there's a way to say something from a good place.
Yep, constructive criticism.
Yeah, I think there's a way to say, like, you know, you were being a dick, but in a nice way, you know, because I think it's important to, like we do, like, the temperature gauge, you know, mm-hmm. but say it in a nice way. I struggle with saying it in a nice way.
Me too. That's my delivery is always very poor.
Yeah.
Okay. Time heals all wounds.
Oh, useful.
Useful.
Yeah. 1000.
I agree with that. I agree. Oh, children will save your relationship.
Useless.
I mean, I would normally agree with that, but I would say useful because when I was about to divorce him and I found out I was pregnant with Jace.
Yeah.
Stayed together. And I will say that he helped heal our relationship.
Mm.
So
yeah, he helped heal it, but more times than not, it's going to be useless for sure. I think.
So both you can see both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. And last one is forgive and forget.
I think it's more, I would say useless because I almost want to correct that and say forgive, don't forget.
Mm.
Because, you know,
I like that.
Yeah.
You don't like forgive, but as long as you both don't forget, you can lean into each other around whatever it is, whatever the wound is. Because if you try to forget, you're never going to forget something that is that hurtful and impactful. Mm-hmm. So you're going to, in an unhealthy way, you're going to push it down. You're going to let it just fester inside of you. You come out as resentment and all that instead of choosing not to forget it and addressing it in a healthy way and leaning in together about it.
Yeah, I actually really like that. That's a good one to end on. And then for anyone listening, tell us what you do. You have like a mantra? Is that what it's called? A mantra?
Mantra.
Correct me on that.
Yeah, I think Canadians say mantra. Mantra. Do you guys have one in your relationship that you'd want to share with anyone listening? Or any advice to give couples out there that are listening?
Yeah. You know, we both kind of, I think we both said this at times a lot. And because we're both guilty of not doing it that well. And it's, you know, treat each other like with grace or treat each other, don't treat each other like the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't treat each other like the enemy because when you know, you got to remind yourself that you are teammates, you know, you're working for the same goal. So instead of, you know, going head to head, like be side by side, going in the same direction. So that's something we constantly try to work on and get better at because, you know, I know for me personally, I'm bad at that, at treating Jana like the enemy. So that's our biggest thing. Don't treat each other like the enemy.
I actually am going to take that with me as well, because I think I have a tendency to forget that in a relationship you're on the same team and that you're supposed to work together, not against each other. And I like thinking of that. Don't treat the other person like an enemy. I like that a lot.
Yay.
Good one. I like that. Thank you guys so much. And congratulations on everything that you've had in this year. It's you, I mean, you guys always crush it. But tell everyone where they can find you and listen to your podcast. And we already talked about where they can get the book, but all of the things.
All right, so the book is called The Good Fight. You can go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever your local bookstore. Our podcast is called Wind Down, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And then at Kramer Girls, my Instagram, and then Mike does Mike Mondays on my Instagram. It's kind of like a shared account. So
I was going to say that. I like what he does, Mike Mondays. So, yeah, because you guys, that's a cool thing to you. Your Instagram is basically your family's, right? Like it's everything you guys have both got going on. It's about your family. Mike does Mike Mondays, and it's just a great account to follow. I do.
I love you and thank you. And I appreciate you and appreciate you having us on. So
of course, anytime. Love you guys and have fun at Cheekwood tonight, looking at all the lights. Send me pictures.
We'll see you after the new year game night, Sean, again.
Done.
Okay. All right.
Done. Later. Thank you guys. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. I'm Caitlin Bristow. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Get new episodes every Tuesday exclusively on podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's that with OTV?
Do you own or rent your own home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know, it's easy. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Okay, this festival and concert season, it's all about the boots. We all know it. And I've got just the place for you to find your perfect pair. They are Tecovas, okay? They've got everything you need to rock that festival style. But really what sets Tecovas apart is their first wear comfort, okay? Seriously, there's little to no break-in period. So you can strut your stuff in style right out of the gates. Plus their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. So stop at your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff. Are you kidding me? They're at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. That's what I did. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So if you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They're offering free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. So go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.